I know we're all guilty of lying in bed, scrolling through this new website we just discovered with the cutest clothes, adding it all to cart, and then remembering your wallet is in the living room and you don't want to get out of bed to go find your credit card number. So then you head to the checkout in hopes that you see that purple shop button. And there it is, the iconic purple Shop Pay button that has all of your payment and shipping information saved, saving you time while you get to stay cozy in bed. Well, that's Shopify. And there's a reason so many businesses sell with it, because Shopify makes everything easier, from checkout to creating your own storefront. Shopify is the commerce platform behind 10% of all e-commerce in the US, from household names like Skims and Rhode to brands just getting started. It gives you that leg up from day one with hundreds of beautiful, ready-to-go templates to express your brand style. You could tackle all of the important tasks in one place, from inventory to payments to analytics and more, including spreading the word on your brand with built-in marketing and email tools to find and keep new customers. And as for that iconic purple Shop Pay button, it's why Shopify has the best converting checkout on the planet. Your customers already love it. If you want to see less carts being abandoned, it's time for you to head over to Shopify. Sign up for your $1 per month trial and start selling today at shopify.com/forthegirls. Go to shopify.com/forthegirls. Shopify.com/forthegirls. I know one of you girls can relate to this, so we gotta talk about it. You know when you feel like you're doing everything right, eating healthy, working out, but your energy still crashes or your mood swings hit out of nowhere, and then you stress because you don't know what you're doing wrong? Well, what I've learned is that it's not you at all, because a lot of these issues are tied to hormone imbalances, and then the stress just makes it worse because it messes with your hormones even more. And that's where Happy Mammoth comes in. They offer a free 2-minute quiz that can help you uncover the root cause of your hormonal symptoms. It's super easy. Just answer a few questions about what you're going through and where you're at in life. And the best part? After taking the quiz, you'll get a personalized recommendation to help balance your hormones and start feeling better. So, of course, I took the hormone quiz myself, and it gave me some insight into what might be happening with my hormones, like potentially an overload of estrogen, which can affect me in all kinds of ways. So, it recommended I take Hormone Harmony, which helps with bloating, chronic fatigue, weight gain, mood swings, anxiety, your cycle, and more. And after adding it to my routine, I noticed such a difference. We often think we need big lifestyle changes to feel better, but in reality, small habits like taking Hormone Harmony every day can have a huge impact on how we feel. And taking care of your hormones isn't just about feeling good right now, it's about investing in your long-term health. So whether you're recommended Hormone Harmony like I was or another Happy Mammoth product, the quiz will help guide you towards solutions that work specifically for you. Ready to start feeling like yourself again? Head over to happymammoth.com and take their free 2-minute hormone quiz today to find the ultimate answer to your stubborn hormonal issues. And for a limited time, you can also get 15% off your entire first order with my code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use code FORTHEGIRLS for 15% off today. I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.
Settling is not an option for me. Everything I desire is already mine. What if you can have it all? Because every day is for the girls.
Hello, hello. Welcome back to another episode of For the Girls. I'm your host, Victoria Alario. And today we're talking with Erin Claire Jones. She is an expert and a teacher on human design, which is a system that reveals our energetic blueprint and how we all personally are wired to thrive. In this conversation, we dive into the specifics of each design type, and how we can use the information that we learn from our design types to better our lives, improve our relationships, excel and succeed in our careers, and most importantly, make the right decisions in just everything that we do. And Erin just wrote a book on all of this, and it's called How Do You Choose? A Human Design Guide to What's Best for You in Work, Love, and Life. So like I said, a lot of decision-making happening here. So the book offers real-world, tangible examples, and it even explores how celebrities lean into their design types as well. So it like gives you the examples of these people that you know, the success that you see them having, and it allows you to understand how they lean into their design types, how that ultimately leads to their success and achieving more money and more fame and whatever else it might be. And Swifties, listen up, okay? Because we're talking about your girl, Taylor Swift, in this episode. So we do dive into the celebrity design types. And of course, we talk about my design type as well. So from you girls knowing me and listening to me talk over the years, I think that you'll even be able to say, yep, that's pretty spot on. So it's really interesting. I'd say in this episode, it's a little creepy how spot on it actually is. Like, it makes a little too much sense. But you'll see when you hear all about it, you're going to be really intrigued. And you too can dive into your own design types as well. So for those of you who want to learn more and get a super personalized guide to your own human design, Erin gave us a discount code, which is for the girls, to use on her blueprint guide. So that'll be linked in the show notes, or you can just head to humandesignblueprint.com/guide and use the code for the girls at checkout for a discount. Now let's head into the episode. Okay, everyone, please welcome Erin to For the Girls. I am so excited to have her on. Erin, please introduce yourself to the girls.
Well, hello. I'm so happy to be here. My name is Erin, and I am a human design teacher and now author, and I work with a system called Human Design that is a mystical assessment based on our time, date, and place of birth that gives us so much interesting information around how we operate best. I'm coming up with a decade on working with this system and excited to share about it with you here today.
Yes, I'm excited. So we, a while ago, like honestly, probably a year ago, if not more, yeah. Maybe a little bit less, but like around that like year mark, we connected. We went over my human design. We went over all mine, and we'll talk about mine in this episode too. But I remember it being so like weird, spot on. I was like, okay, yeah, that's accurate. So yes, it was new to me. Of course, I've heard all different things, yeah. Not human design, but like just other, I don't even know what you would really consider them, but more, you know, spiritual things where they look at certain things and they tell you about yourself. But yours in particular, you know, the fact that we lost touch and now it's like coming back. I'm like, yes, this is still one that I'm interested in. This is still one that I want to get on the podcast. It was really interesting. So can you explain it in more details? Like, dummy down 101, what is human design for the girls listening? Aside mm-hmm. from me just saying, yes, it's very spot on.
Of course. So human design is a system based on your time, date, and place of birth, like astrology. And it generates all this hyper-personalized, very specific information on how we operate best. Think of it like your energy mechanics. Like, how do you make decisions? Like, where might you face challenges more often? What are your unique strengths? How can you find and create the best opportunities? What kind of communication do you need? And it really gives us, I think, all this juicy information about ourselves, but also all these very practical tools to bring that information to life. And I feel like what drew me to human design was its practicality. I feel like often with readings, I'm like, oh, this is super interesting and insightful, but then I had no idea what to do with it. And I think human design tells us what to do with it. And I think it's so relevant now more than ever, because I think it's very easy to look at what others are doing and try to emulate their success because like, oh, it worked for them. It might work for us. And I think human design reminds us that whether it comes to business or friendship or marriage or parenting, like we are all wired to do things differently. And human design really specifically outlines what that looks like for each of us.
Very interesting. Yeah. So it makes it like tangible. It makes it more like real That's life right. rather than like super woo-woo spiritual type stuff. It's like, no, this is like real life stuff that you can actually take from your human design and implement it and, you know, execute, actually do something with it. So yes, that certainly makes it stand out. You said you briefly mentioned how like you got into it, but how did you get into it? Like, did this just like happen to come across your desk, or were you seeking this?
Not seeking it at all. You know, a little bit of context into my design before I share is that my design is basically all how opportunities are meant to come is around being invited into things. I'm here to kind of have somebody be like, hey, you'd be amazing at this. So knowing that context, it was 2015. I was living in New York City and I went to a friend's gathering on the Lower East Side and sat next to a stranger. And the stranger asked to read my human design chart. I never heard of human design. It was incredibly fringe at the time, but I was like, okay, tell me what you see. You know, I had been working for a number of startups and just felt like I felt a little bit restless. It didn't really feel like things weren't awful, but they also weren't amazing. And I kind of knew that there was something else. So anyways, I sat down with him and he proceeded to give me the most insightful, accurate reading I'd ever received. You know, it felt like he put words to my inner world in a way that I never experienced. I also felt very confronted in that moment because I was like, I'm not living any of that. Like, is that really allowed? Mm-hmm. And he ended the conversation by saying, Erin, I think you're meant to do this. I think you're meant to teach and share human design. And he invited me to study with him and build a business with him that night. The moment we met. And so that's how it all started. You know, looking back, I was 25. Like, it's crazy now because now I've got like kids and this whole life. I'm like, would I have said yes now when like there's so much happening in my life? But I think at that moment, it just felt right, you know, and mm-hmm. I applaud my younger self because again, human design was not cool, not well known, not popular, had not increased in its awareness in the way it has now. But there was something about it that felt so true to me and so needed. And that's how it all started.
Yeah. So it's interesting because you essentially found it in the way that your human design tells you, like you were saying, that's like right. your human design tells you that opportunity kind of finds you and you're invited into it. Then that's how it found you.
That's exactly so that's how it found me.
That's totally. Very interesting.
And I don't think I even processed that until like really after the fact, or even like a few months later, I was like, whoa. Like that's how it all happened. And I find that's true for me in so many moments of my life that can like, I still can resist my design and be like, oh, I want to find things this way. But like when I look back at how all the most meaningful things came into my life, it was all through an invitation. Like even this book I know we'll talk about, but like, mm-hmm. you know, I was like, I'm going to pitch these agents and publishers. And like, that's just not how it happened. It was like one agent invited me and I met with a lot and there was one publisher that invited. It was just like, that's how everything happens. And I've learned that like, I can try to go against it or I can just like embrace that like, that's how magic happens for me. So I might as well follow it.
Very interesting. Very interesting. So now there are different types of mm-hmm. human design, correct? Like,
correct.
Or like you and I would be a different type or maybe not, but like for the most part there, everyone would be kind of like grouped into a different type. Is that correct?
That's right. So human design is incredibly nuanced. So like you're going to have a very different design than basically everybody. But at the highest level, we are grouped into five kind of primary types: manifesting generators, projectors, reflectors, and manifestors. And then it kind of gets more nuanced from there. If you guys want to look up your type, which I highly recommend, you can at humandesignblueprint.com. Did you want to go over them?
Yeah.
Okay. So let's start with your type.
Okay.
Do you remember what it's called?
No, I don't.
I mean, I would be surprised if you did. It's been a while. So you are a generator in human design. It basically means that you are somebody who's a very natural doer. You have boundless energy to make things happen when you feel genuinely excited by what you're doing. When you're excited, it's just like you can't help but do. And like you're really somebody who feels the most satisfied according to your design. When you kind of expend your energy fully throughout the day and you drop into bed delightfully spent. You're like, I've left it all in the field and now I can rest well. I would say generators tend to struggle a bit with boundaries because they have so much natural capacity and vitality. People can like want them to kind of do all kinds of things. And so if they overextend themselves out of a desire to please or obligation, they can burn themselves out pretty quickly. So I would say a big lesson for you is around prioritizing your own satisfaction and seeing that not as a selfish choice, but as the most generous thing you can do. And you're also somebody who's very much meant to let life come to you. Like you've got a lot of capacity to make things happen, but you're really meant to kind of see what shows up in your world and naturally sparks your gut and let that kind of guide what you do next. Curious.
Very spot on.
Yeah. Tell me more.
Yeah. Well, so I do remember when we spoke about it, like as you said that, it all kind of came back to me. Like, of course mm-hmm. It had left my mind, but hearing it, I'm like, oh yes, that's exactly what we spoke about. And I do think when we spoke a while back, I was a little bit more into the thick of Like, my business and work has changed a lot over the years, but I think I was still kind of a little bit in that, like, more hustle mode. Yep. My life has changed a lot over the past, honestly, the past 2 years, and more specifically the past year. I'm recently engaged. I'm planning my wedding now. I've taken a big backseat when it comes to, like, work stuff. I mean, of course, my podcast and my content creation, but for me, those things come very naturally and don't even feel like work. You know, it's like, I'm just talking on a podcast. I'm just sharing my life and sharing my opinions. Like, that is, you know, in and of itself, it's, I see it as just like a privilege, you know, just something I get to do, as opposed to like work, where it's like more like things that I have felt like urgent, get this done, gotta get this done, gotta make more money, like shit like that. And so, yes, I do remember talking about the burnout, could totally relate. However, I'm not in that place now currently, but I certainly was. I am much more leaning into my rest, like you talked about. I've always been a big rester though. Like, I've always, like, you know, work hard, rest hard kind of person. Yep. So yeah, I mean, very much spot on. Even the term just generator, like someone who's like, you know, going, getting shit done, like in and of itself, like totally, I can resonate with that.
You know, it's funny. I'm going to talk about the other types, but one thing I just want to say about your design before I get into the other types is, like, you are somebody, this comes from something called your profile, who's very much meant to kind of just lean into what comes easily and naturally, the things that just feel like you. Mm-hmm. And, like, so often people with this profile, like, don't assign worth to it. It's like, I can't just, like, get paid for being myself or just doing these things that come easily. But, like, that's exactly what you're meant to get paid for. So I just love hearing you even articulate, without even realizing it, that it relates to human design of, like, I've kind of let go of all these things and I'm just, like, doing the things that feel easy and they're just working. And that's just how your life is meant to unfold. And I sat with so many podcast hosts recently that have this in their profile, and they've kind of reflected, like, oh yeah, I'm just, like, getting paid for talking about life because that's what comes the most easily to me.
It's so funny that you're saying that. I have my work phone in my hand right now, and my phone background is I get paid for being me.
Oh my God, your design says the exact same thing.
Like, literally, I just wrote this on Canva. I just, like, picked a pretty font, typed it on a Canva thing, and made it my phone background.
That's amazing.
On my work phone. So, and you're saying it essentially the exact same sentence, and it's right there. So, yeah, I mean, creepy.
Human design does that. It's always, like, a little bit creepy. It's like, wait, how would you know that?
You know what? That's like when that's what you kind of want. You want to be a little creeped out. You want to know, like, okay, it's really spot on. Who's watching me? Like that, you know, you kind of want to be like, holy shit, how do you know that?
Totally. I've had, like, so many people walk in really skeptical, and then they're just like, I don't get it. Like, have you been following me around for, like, my whole life? Like, have you been reading my journals? I'm like, it's crazy. Like, I think the magic of human design is that it can be very specific, but it also just gives language to things that we already know, but rarely have given ourselves permission to step into. And so often it's very familiar to people. They're like, oh, right, that's exactly how I work. I see all the ways I've been resisting that. How can I just lean into that more?
Right. Quick question. I know we're going to talk about the other designs, but you just kind of, when you brought up someone coming into it skeptical, then leaving, kind of asking you, like, how do you know? Have you been following me? But I guess my question is, like, would human design be the same no matter what? Like, say I also started practicing and, like, learning it. Like, would I come up with the same information for someone as you? You know what I mean? Like, they're saying, how do you know? But is it like, well, you're just kind of reading the human design and you're just telling them what you see? Or is it like your specific ability, like your interpretation? Do you know what I'm saying?
I do. I think that, like, it is, you know, when I look at a human design chart, I'm just reading the chart. You know, we're all reading the same information. But, like, I think that we all translate it differently, you know? And so I do think that, like, people are going to all resonate with it very differently. I think that my priority, I've worked with a lot of companies in the past. That was kind of actually how my first business was born. So I think I, unlike many human design people, am, like, really not dogmatic about this information. I think whenever I sit with people, the way I present it at first is, like, I'm not trying to convince you of anything. Like, take it if it feels useful, supportive, resonant, let it go if it doesn't. And also, what matters most to me is not whether it's true, but whether it's actually useful. And so I would say that I I feel like I do, I'm able to kind of reach people that I think otherwise are often not into mystical systems like these, because like I don't need them to believe it. And because I don't need that, they're like, okay, tell me what you see. And like, so, I mean, I think like all things, like, I think you have to find the teacher and the guide that actually resonates with it. You know, I think that I've had human design readings that didn't resonate because it felt very disempowering, you know? Mm-hmm. So I think everything is shaped through kind of the lens through which we share it. And my belief is this is meant to be a system that's here to empower us and not kind of limit us in any way.
Right, right. Amazing. Cool. All right. So walk us through the other ones. So we talked about generator, and then tell us the other design types.
So then we've got manifesting generators, which have a lot of similarities to generators. They're also very natural doers, this boundless energy that kind of unlocks when they're excited by what they're doing. The distinctions here are that they tend to be quite multi-passionate. These are my clients that are like, I own a dance studio. I'm also a coach on the side. I'm like considering opening a juice bar. Like maybe I'll be a lawyer. Like they just can't really be boxed into one thing. Their career paths tend to be very nonlinear. They've often been made to feel scattered or like they're doing too much when like that need for variety and freshness is just a very inherent part of who they are. They're also incredibly fast. Once they know that something's for them, they can make it happen faster than anyone else. So they can often be a little bit disappointed in other people when others are not moving as fast or doing as much. So really kind of trusting that like efficiency is their gift, but not a gift that's shared by everybody. Then we've got projectors in human design. Projectors are very natural leaders, guides, teachers, so good at asking the right questions, very naturally attuned to other people, very wise about other people, very sensitive. They have energy that very naturally ebbs and flows. So they aren't really kind of meant to do or maintain consistent momentum, but they actually do best when they build a lot of space and rest and pause into their days. And so, you know, a big part of our job as projectors, I'm saying our because this is my design, is really disentangling our worth from how much we do and how hard we work. And projectors are really here to be invited in. So really kind of paying attention to who like really sees your value, sees you very clearly, and really invites you in to share it. Then we've got manifestors. Manifestors are very innovative, disruptive people, people that are really good at like getting new ideas off the ground. Like they're really here to walk a path that's never been walked before. You know, they're not really here to kind of follow what's been done or guided or told what to do. They're really good at getting ideas started, but not always great at doing all the doing to keep the idea alive. So their gift is kind of breathing life into new projects and then kind of like handing that off and moving on to something else. Their energy is very spurty. They might have periods where they're super on fire, followed by periods where they really kind of need a lot of rest. So really honoring these like natural ebbs and flows. And they are here to make the first move to initiate when they feel that urge to kind of just go for it. But a big lesson for them is around keeping people in the loop. They might be very tempted to kind of go off and do their own thing and not let people know, but that can create a little bit more friction in their relationship. So just kind of giving people a heads up before they fly can tend to ease a lot of tension and a lot of questioning and just allow them to kind of do their thing.
I can name a few people like that.
And they
they're
need
not
freedom.
My type of person.
Really?
No.
They are so, what I love about manifestors is like, they also just like, they do need this freedom to kind of do what they want, when they want, how they want. You know, I have my 7-month-old as a manifestor and like, you know, she's 7 months old. And like, I already see that so clearly where she's just like very specific about what she wants, but also like needs to be free as much as a 7-month-old can be, you know? Right. And so it's really fun to observe kids because they're often embodying their design really authentically before they're being conditioned. Yeah.
For me, it's about a lot of like talking and not doing. Like there's been a lot of people who, because as someone who's a generator, who, like you said, like I get shit done. Like I'm just, I not only do I have the ideas, but I have a natural ability to just do. If I want to do something, if it resonates with me, I make it happen. Exactly. I've had a lot of people who kind of piggyback off of that, who then say, and they'll have amazing ideas. We should do this. We should do that. And then it's kind of like when you were a kid in school and it's like the group project and like, really by the time that it's time to present, you're like, I'm the only one who did the work here. You know, like, like I'm presenting the group project on behalf of really just myself. And so that's happened to me. I mean, I work best alone. I've always been a very independent person, but there have always been times where like I get excited when someone seems as interested as I am and like they bring these ideas and then they're like, we're gonna do this and that. And then like 2 weeks later they're like on to the next project and they have like a different idea. And I'm like, well, I can't work with other people because of this, because a lot of people talk the talk but don't walk the walk. And maybe it's that's their design type. I don't know if it's just a character flaw or if it's actually a design type where a lot of people do, you know, get involved and we're going to do this, we're going to do that. And then they don't execute. They don't show up and show all the way through.
Yeah. And there are like so many reasons for that. I would say for manifestors, like they tend to have a lot of energy when it comes to just starting it. So like they can feel flaky because they're not always able to complete it, but like they can really thrive in positions where like their role is starting it, you know? And then they kind of like, there's an expectation that like that's where they bring their biggest energy and the most gifts and then can kind of move on. But I would also say like a big part of the focus of the book, which I know we'll talk about later, is around decision-making and how we enter into things. And I also think that makes a big difference too, because I think when we are kind of disconnected from our most authentic way of making decisions, people can just like commit to the wrong things. They might feel like a momentary sense of excitement. They might feel like your excitement and passion and say yes to it, and then realize they don't actually have the energy to follow through. And so I do really find that when we really connect to like how we're wired to choose, then we actually enter into things we can actually show up for, you know? So I also wonder how much that's playing a role, that people are kind of like saying yes and then realize they don't actually have the energy, and what it would look like to be like, am I really choosing in a way that feels aligned and like making sure I really have the energy for this thing before I say yes?
Yeah. Well, that right there is a prime example of doing like, no, taking your design type and doing something with it and being able to say, if this is my design type, the perfect job for me would be start like helping the startup, whatever it is. Like I'm a freelance person who works with startups. So I help them start up and then I'm out. And then I move on to the next business. Like that's kind of taking, you know, your design type and making something tangible with it.
That's right. You know, and again, like I always say, human design doesn't limit what we can do. It just lets us know how we can do that thing best. Mm-hmm. So every type can be an entrepreneur, but like the way they do it is probably gonna look really different. The type of support they're gonna need, probably really different, you know? So I think it really is so useful to be like, okay, how can I structure a business or structure a job or structure a relationship in a way that it feels like I can honor all these parts of me?
Interesting.
So the final type is reflector. This is the rarest type, just 1% of the population. These are people that are our collective mirrors, people that are so deeply sensitive to their space and kind of always taking in and magnifying the energy that they're around. So they are meant to be such ruthless curators of where they spend time and who they spend time with. They're also very fluid people. You know, they might find that different friends and groups and seasons of life pull out different parts of them. So their job is not to try to be just one thing or be overly consistent, but really honor whatever feels like them that day and in that season and trust that it's always changing. These people are so wise. They just see and sense things that most people miss. So they do really well in positions where they're really valued for their perspective and like that's really acted on, whatever insights they see. And opportunities for them emerge most naturally when they're in spaces that feel good, you know, whether it's a cafe they love or a garden that they like, or whether it's a city they really enjoy, like when they're in spaces that feel right, like that's how their flow kind of happens. So I would really encourage these people to really proactively plant themselves in spaces and around people that they love.
Okay. Interesting. Now, is it possible that people can resonate with, not to say like resonate, because I think of course, yes, but like no one could be too. Right? Like you're only one
primary type, and there's going to be so many other parts of your design that kind of speak to the whole picture. You know, like even I did a podcast earlier today where somebody's like, oh, I'm a projector, but I resonate with like the manifestor piece because like I can really make things happen very powerfully. And like in her design, she had like the strongest willpower, which basically means that like, yes, she's here to be invited into things, but when her heart's in it, nobody can stop her. So there is like a fuller picture that's created when we know all the pieces. I would say that manifesting generators specifically are kind of a hybrid type between manifestors and generators. So they are people that are manifesting generators, but might resonate with qualities of both of those types.
Got it. Okay. Interesting. Now you, of course, you have your, what's the name of your book that's coming out?
It's called How Do You Choose? A Human Design Guide to What's Best for You at Work and Love and in Life.
Whoa. Elaborate. I like it. Okay. So when I looked up your book, I was of course reading, you know, little excerpts and whatnot. And so there was a part that says that your book offers example of how influential figures like Nelson Mandela, Taylor Swift, Beyonce, Maya Angelou, and more have used their human design gifts to change the world, including actionable tips for immediate transformation and more than 100 journaling prompts. So you got a lot going on in there. Now, can you give us some examples of whether it's these celebrities or just any celebrities that you really know, like their design types and what they do with it based on like what, you know, was written there?
Yeah, so I think that something that was really fun for me in writing the book, I've been doing kind of celebrity charts for a long time, but I begin each chapter reflecting on a celebrity through the lens of their human design to kind of give people a real example of like what does it actually look like in somebody's life for this thing to kind of show up. And like these people probably all don't know their human design, but like a lot of them you can like see it showing up. So we'll start with projectors. I think the stories that I tell of projectors in the book are of Taylor Swift and RuPaul and Nelson Mandela. And I think, you know, I use the example of Nelson Mandela around just being like a really powerful leader, obviously, you know, and also one that kind of maintains calm, like when so much is happening around him. Barack Obama is another example of a projector. So is JFK. Like obviously these position people have been in positions of like big leadership. And I also share the example of RuPaul because like when you look back at to how his career began, it really kind of started through an invitation. He was like pastering posters of himself and then like had these two people see him on the street and like invite him to sign with their production company, and then kind of things took off from there. So those are great examples of projectors. I think generators, the examples I use in the book are, the book actually starts with LeBron James. You know, I love him as an example of as generator because it's somebody that's very naturally passionate, but also like very masterful. You can like see what happens when somebody like puts in the work and has the passion to do it. Like, you know, I tell the moment of when he became the highest scoring player in the NBA, you know, and like, you know, had obviously played many seasons, is still playing. You know, I don't know if he's 40 now or what his age is, but obviously like it's wild that he really has the stamina that he does. I think Oprah is another example of a generator, somebody who's achieved a lot of mastery, has a lot of natural charisma. Beyoncé, I include in the book as well. How do you feel about those being your celebrities?
Yeah, great.
We'll take it. Manifesting generators. The Rock is actually the example of the one I use in the book because, like, you know, he obviously like achieved a lot of success in one field and then like was like, I'm also gonna become like a movie star and like I'm also gonna like start this company and start this company. And like he just
Wait,
really
what was he doing before he was acting?
was it wrestling?
Oh, okay. I didn't know that.
The W was it? I think it was wrestling.
I know nothing, so sounds great. He
some
to me is an
sport.
actor. He was an actor. He is
He
an
was that
actor
was
as
not where
far
he
as I know.
started.
Yeah.
No. If I'm incorrect, if it wasn't that, I mean he was like the biggest star in whatever sport he was doing.
And then went, okay, I
And
didn't know that.
then yeah, and then went on to become a movie star and then started all these companies. And there's like this amazing quote from the book that I didn't write from like a collaborator, which is like he like is up at this time and then he's doing this and then he's doing this, and like he just appears superhuman to a lot of people. Jessica Alba is another example of a manifesting generator.
Oh.
Manifestors, the examples I include in the book are Maya Angelou. You know, manifestors are so good at being the first. Maya Angelou was the first at so many things. Also Gloria Steinem, another amazing example of somebody who would like really was here to like lead a movement and kind of like be very inspiring and active and provocative and kind of like bringing change. You know, manifestors are so impactful in the work that they do. Adele, I don't talk about her in the book, but she's also a great example and obviously somebody who really inspires and provokes through her voice. Reflectors are a little bit harder to find because they're just 1%, but the examples that I share in the book, one is Rosalynn Carter, Jimmy Carter's wife. And, you know, it's interesting reading about his reflections on her because his reflections on her are very much around the fact that like she was kind of just like his wise, you know, like wisdom keeper observer. Like he just relied on her and talked to her through everything, you know, and she so beautifully embodies that example of reflector. Sandra Bullock is another one. Reflectors need a lot of time for decision making, and I tell a story of kind of when she was really asked for a lot of time to before making this movie called Gravity. So you know, there are so many examples, but I think it was really fun to kind of look at these people through the lens of their design because it often becomes so clear.
Yeah. So I want to go back because you talked about the Taylor Swift, Nelson Mandela. That was generators.
Sorry, projectors.
Oh, projectors. Okay. Sorry. That's my fault. Tell me, do a little bit more on Taylor Swift because I know that there are people, everyone's obsessed with Taylor Swift. I know that there are people who are going to be listening who like want to hear more about Taylor Swift, but we like brushed past her very quickly.
Yeah.
Tell me like more about her. Design life, everything, whatever.
Well, so like projectors are really here to be seen. You know, obviously Taylor Swift has been seen in a big way. I think what I love about Taylor Swift is that Projectors are often, they're really good at like mastering a thing, similar to generators in some way. Like, obviously, she's really mastered her art and it's evolved in many ways. But projector energy also really naturally ebbs and flows, So I even feel like with Taylor Swift, like she'll be like on for a while, then she'll disappear, then she'll be on again. So, like, allowing that ebb and flow is so important. Something that is interesting about her profile, this extends beyond her type. She's what we call a 5-1 profile. This is another part of your chart. It's around the fact that one, she's here to be like a master, like an absolute master, whatever it is she chooses. That's the one. But the five piece is around the fact that like she's here to have like a big, big impact, a lot of influence, and people tend to project a lot of things onto them, the fives. And I think Taylor Swift is like a really good example that like people like love her, they hate her, they just have like strong feelings about her. They like think she's this or this. And like so much of being a five is around like seeing what people are projecting, but like never getting swept away in it. And it's always so interesting for me because I feel like when I do most celebrities' charts, they often have fives in their profile. So these people that like are so easily projected upon and here to have like big influence and have to stay really rooted in who they are amidst all the noise. But yeah, she's always been like a really beautiful example of that for me, you know?
I guess I would. In the weirdest way, because I don't even think that she does anything problematic, but she is a very polarizing
She
person.
is.
And I don't know why, I guess. I think it's just because people love her so much that it makes other people hate that people love her so much. So then it ultimately means that they like are anti-Taylor Swift, right? Like, that's what I would think.
Yeah, it's like it feels like it's this kind of energy that like inspires strong feelings in one direction or another, where it's like maybe not like a lukewarm, but I do see that with so many fives where there is kind of this polarizing energy. And again, like people can just project all kinds of things. So I think it's so important for these people with fives, if anyone's listening that has a five, to just like stay really rooted in like what actually feels true to me, because like there are going to be positive projections, negative ones, and my job is to not get lost in any of those things, as hard as it might be.
As you're explaining that, it also made me think of Kim Kardashian. I don't know what she is, but she's someone like that.
Kim Kardashian is a generator. So she's got kind of all that charisma. I'm actually curious if I can look up her profile really quickly. If I'm remembering it correctly, it's a she's a 2-4, but I want to see if I'm actually right here because I think it would be helpful. She is, oh my God, you're so right. Yep, she's got it too. She's a 3-5.
Oh, that's it. Packing it up. I have a new career. I'm done.
You're
Hang it up the
done.
mic. Hang it
But
up the headphones.
it's wild to me because I can't tell you how often that happens, where it's just like when I'm doing these celebrity profiles, I'm like, but there I'm like trying to find people that don't have fives, because it's such a, it doesn't mean that if you have a five that you'll be a celebrity, of course, but it does mean that like there is this nature where one, you're here to have a big impact. You're here to be like known by many, not just kind of influence those close to you. And also it is really easy for people to have really strong opinions on you one way or another, which just again reinforces the importance of staying rooted in what actually feels true to you. And whether it's the opinions of your family or whether it's the opinions of strangers on the internet, whatever the thing is, it's like not getting swept away or lost in those.
I know it's not always easy to whip up recipes that are fast, flavorful, and still feel special, but I have a shortcut to deliciousness for you girls. Frozen Washington Red Raspberries. They're American-grown raspberries picked at peak ripeness and frozen within hours to lock in bright, sweet, tart flavor, no added sugars or preservatives, just the good stuff. Cooking and baking is such a love language of mine, and nothing says love like some homemade muffins or pancakes for breakfast. So these have become a freezer staple for me to razz up all my favorite things to make. They not only elevate your traditional recipes by adding bold flavor and vibrant color, but they honestly make me feel like a kitchen genius when my fiance says to me, "Wait, how did you make these? Something's different." Well, the secret is these berries are crafted specifically to be frozen. That means better texture, better taste, and better results in your kitchen. I've used other frozen berries that turn to mush when they defrost, and the difference is extraordinary. They're grown by passionate farmers in Washington State, so they're frozen with care to ensure top quality and food safety. You can find frozen Washington red raspberries in the frozen fruit section of most major grocery retailers like Kroger, Meijer, and Winco Foods. I always check the label for American-grown frozen raspberries Just look for Product of the US on the bag. Want to learn more details on where to find American frozen red raspberries, plus recipe ideas and cooking tips? Head to redraz.org. That's redraz.org. You'll find participating retailers and inspiration for every meal, plus info on how these berries go from farm to freezer with quality you can taste. Girls, are you ready to lose weight? With Effecty, getting access to powerful GLP-1 weight loss medications has never been easier or more affordable. Effecty offers compounded semaglutide, the same active ingredients as the popular name brands, but for up to 80% off. These medications work by regulating appetite and blood sugar, helping you lose weight in a sustainable, science-backed way. And getting started is simple. Fill out a short medical questionnaire, then connect with the licensed provider through a quick chat-based telehealth consultation. If you're eligible, your prescription gets shipped straight to your door. No hassle, no waiting rooms. With transparent pricing, no hidden fees, and no membership required, Effecty is committed to making proven weight loss treatments accessible to everyone. The results that I have seen from GLP weight loss medications in my friends has been life-changing. Not only has their health improved tremendously from the weight loss, but their confidence has skyrocketed like never before. They look their best, they feel their best. I personally am not a candidate for GLP-1, but I'm always looking for ways to look and feel my best. And I personally have been on a health journey where I want to improve my health. So I'm using the NAD Plus nasal spray from Effecty, which in fact increases your metabolism and reduces inflammation, which is exactly what I've been struggling with as I've gotten older. So I finally found the solution. It also promotes healthy muscle function, which is so necessary for me as I just started getting back into the gym, and so many more benefits like slowing the aging process, boosting energy and mental clarity, and supporting healthier skin. NAD Plus is the body's ultimate recharge, and I love it. So, ready to level up your weight loss game? Right now, my listeners can get $50 off of GLP-1 weight loss treatments at effecty.com with code FORTHEGIRLS at checkout. That's effecty.com, effecty.com, and use code FORTHEGIRLS to get $50 off your first month of GLP-1 weight loss treatment. No hassles, no membership, and no hidden fees. Get started today. We all want to feel our best, but let's be real. Some wellness trends are hard to stick with. That's why Goalie's ashwagandha gummies are a game changer. Goalie Nutrition makes wellness easy and delicious with their ashwagandha gummies, and they're America's number one ashwagandha brand, trusted by millions. They are chewable, made with high quality ingredients, taste amazing, and are packed with essential B vitamins so you can feel your best without any hassle. Goalie ashwagandha gummies are made with KSM-66, a clinically studied form of ashwagandha known to lower cortisol levels, the hormone your body releases when you're stressed. And when your cortisol drops, you feel calmer, you sleep better, think more clearly, and even have more balanced energy throughout the day. No pills, powder, or mixing, just convenient, on-the-go, stress support in a delicious gummy. Grab, chew, and feel the difference. So head to Goalie.com now and get 50% off Goalie's ashwagandha gummies today only using Goalie50. Try them risk-free with Goalie's money-back guarantee, because wellness should be simple, effective, and delicious. Don't wait. Visit Goalie.com and use code Goalie50 today. Okay, girls, I got a question for you all to think about. How would life be different if you developed undeniable confidence? Well, you're about to find out, because I know you're sick of settling for the bare minimum. I know you crave more in life. So imagine how different your life would be if you had the tools to stop settling, to start raising your standards, and to start getting everything you want in life. And guess what? You can get all the tools through my Queens of Confidence coaching program. It's a self-paced, 8-module digital program that has been proven to change lives through recorded coaching videos, journal prompts and worksheets, and a community discussion board for you to ask me any questions and connect with the other members of the program too. Topics of the Queens of Confidence program include external validation, feminine energy, masculine energy, boundaries, high standards, communication skills, self-doubt, limiting beliefs, imposter syndrome, daily habits, mindful living, emotional availability, improving your relationships, understanding your needs, attracting everything you want, and yes, more. You can get instant access to the entire program right now, and best of all, you can watch and learn at your own pace because your access is granted forever. Some of the queens who have completed the program said, "It's the best investment I've ever made into myself. Vic is the best person to learn from. She's a true expert when it comes to confidence. Worth every penny." And I've taken a couple of courses where they sound rehearsed or just repeat the same cookie cutter things. Your course is the complete opposite, and your everyday examples really drive your points home. So girls, it's your time. Invest in yourself, you're worth it, and your 2.0 self will thank you for changing your life for the better. Head to victoriaalario.com or click the link in the show notes and get the Queens of Confidence program now.
Right. Now, what are these numbers that you're saying?
So this comes from a part of your design called your profile. So again, you can look that up at humandesignblueprint.com. When you look at the attributes listed, it's going to be the fraction looking number listed next to profile. There are, let me just make sure I have yours. I believe yours is 6-2. There are 12 different profiles, but I can maybe just kind of quickly run through each number, the six numbers. Does that make sense? Just to give people a taste. So I've referenced yours briefly a little bit already. I'll start with ones. This is not you. For anybody that has a one, so that would be 1-3s, 1-4s, 4-1s, and 5-1s. These are people that are very natural investigators. This is Taylor Swift. People that are very natural authorities. They're here to like kind of dive deep into things, like understand things on a very deep level. Like here to just become like very masterful and authoritative in many ways in whatever it is they choose. They're really here to kind of let their curiosity guide them. And they are here to like understand how things work. These are often the podcast interviews where people are like, how does human design work? Like explain the mechanics. Like they just have to kind of like understand the foundations underneath it all. Twos, which is you. These are 2-4s, 2-5s, 5-2s, and 6-2s. The two is so much around doing what comes naturally and easily. Even if you have not historically assigned worth to those things, it's often where you offer the most value. The twos, I'm curious how you feel about this. They also have a very naturally hermetic energy. This is not about hermiting all the time, of course, but having time and space alone to just be in your own uninterrupted flow, it's so important for twos. It's often where they can kind of discover what they're drawn to, but it also brings them like a lot of harmony and just space, you know? So really being in relationships, whether it's collaborators or with fiancés, where they can take that space guilt-free.
100%. Yeah. Yes.
Threes. So these are going to be 3-5s, 3-6s, 6-3s, and 1-3s. These people are here to experiment. These are people that learn through trial and error. They're here to kind of like make mistakes, bump into things, see what doesn't work, like have that kind of guide them to what does work. So they're really here to kind of become very comfortable with messiness and failure and mistakes because everything that doesn't work brings them closer to what does. These are people that like have to experience things for themselves. So you might tell them a thing works and they just like don't care until they try it for themselves. So, you know, it's important to kind of be around people that really support that process. I'm married to a 1-3. I have a toddler with a 3. I will say that like I am so amazed by their resilience. These people are so good at just like getting back up and continuing to move. Then we've got 4s. These are going to be, Oprah's a 2-4. So these are going to be 4-1s, 4-6s, 1-4s, and 2-4s. For 4s, the biggest piece that comes up is around community and really having very high quality relationships because their relationships create their opportunity. So like they might find that they date somebody who's a friend first or introduced to them through a friend. They might find a job through like a former colleague making an introduction. It's like all through community. And so really kind of making sure they are investing in a community that feels aligned, knowing that's going to be the thing that creates the best opportunity for them. These are people that often don't love dating apps. And then we've got 5s, 5-1s. We've talked about 5s, 5-1s, 5-2s, 2-5s, and 3-5s. These are people that are here to have a big impact, a lot of influence. They're very good problem solvers. So it's really good to try to solve the problems they genuinely care about and not every problem. And the piece that we talked about is around the fact that people project often a lot of things onto them, positive, negative, across the spectrum. So really staying rooted in what feels true to them and not letting others' visions for them carry them far from their path. The final one is a 6. This is you. 6-2s, 6-3s, 3-6s, and 4-6s. 6s are around the fact that you, this also very much relates to your background on your phone. I get paid to be me. The 6s are really here to be role models, teachers, people that inspire others just by being themselves. You know, it's like you're a role model, not because you're like, this is how you should do it, but like just because like you're living your truth so fully that like it inspires others to do the same, not be like you, but be authentic like you in their own way. What's interesting about the 6s is that I am a 6-2, is that we tend to carry our life we tend to live our life in three phases. The first phase of your life is meant to be 0 to 30. And that really, and you are how old?
I just turned 30.
Okay. So interesting. I'm curious how you land, how this lands with you. 0 to 30 is meant to be a time of like tremendous trial and error. It's not a time to like figure things out, but just to like throw as many things as you can against the wall and like see what sticks. But there's often a lot of pressure. Like I've got to meet my person or figure my thing out. And like, it's a time to experiment as much as you can. 30 to 50 is often when things tend to settle a bit. You might find that you become clear about like what's worth investing in, what's not, you know, like a little bit less experimentation just because you are clearer. You might find that you tend to kind of zoom out and have a bit of a higher perspective on things. 30 to 50 is really a time to kind of embody all the lessons that you've learned over those past 30 years. And you might find that more and more people are kind of coming to you for your wisdom, your perspective. And you are somebody that's meant to hit your prime when you turn 50. Which is not about waiting for 20 years for it all to happen, but it's around the fact that like it's meant to keep getting better and better and better. And like you're somebody who like as you get older, like you're so embodied in all the things that you've learned that again, you just become a real inspiration for other people. You know, one thing that I love about sixes in this third phase is when they speak, there's just like gravity to their words. You know, they speak and everyone just kind of like listens. Like Maya Angelou is an amazing example of a 6'2". Barack Obama was is a 6'2". But there's just like, there's weight as they get older. And that's true, obviously, for all of us, but it's really pronounced for 6'2s.
Yeah. It's funny because like I resonate with the entire thing that you said, because I have always really considered myself to be like a very old soul.
So true of 6'2s. Yeah.
Yeah. So like, I get what you're saying when you're like, okay, from 1 to 30, there's really no rush. You're kind of like experimenting. And then it's when you like, you know, from 30 to 50 where you're more in that way. And I'm like, wait, I feel like I was in that 30 to 50 bracket since I was like 15. I'm like, I did throw a lot of things at the wall. Like I would say work is where I experimented like the most and done all different things and tried all different things. And now as I'm 30, I'm the most settled, I would say, in my career. But as far as just like me as a person, I was always like, okay, what's next? Okay, when am I going to meet my guy? Like all of the things. I was always just ready for like, I feel like I've been 50 for a long time. So yeah, no, I resonate, but I'm also like, I'm definitely more of an old soul for sure.
Yeah, I see that so often in these people. And I also received that reflection so much when I was young. And I feel like I hear that from so many 6'2s, where it's like, yes, they have to go through that experimental phase. But like, there's just like this innate wisdom and authority in them that people feel from a young age, you know? And so like, again, even though the role model piece like comes online in a really big way later in life, it's always there.
Yeah.
You know, I think it just becomes deeper and more mature. And what, you know, it's just like it deepens.
It becomes more like maternal, like as you get old. It's just like it's deeper. Yeah, for sure. Speaking of maternal, I have to know how long after you give birth are you like, okay, here's my kid's human design? Like, are you like in the bed, like write down that time, write down like what's the deal? Because I need to know.
Oh my God, I love that question. I would say with my first, so I have a 2-year-old and a 7-month-old. And with the 2-year-old, it was so funny because when I went into labor, I looked up, as I started kind of having contractions, I looked up the design. I was just curious what she might be. And it looked like she'd be a manifestor for a while. But then when I gave birth, it was, I'm forgetting. It was 12:12 a.m. I would say like 3 minutes after she was out, my husband like whispered in my ear. He was like, she's a manifesting generator, which was so hilarious because if she'd been born 12 minutes earlier, she would have been a manifestor. So like her design really changed. So, you know, that was so funny. And then with this most recent one, I mean, I think I probably looked it up like maybe an hour after, but we were very precise about the time. Like with the first one, they wrote down 12:13 a.m. And then we looked at photos that my doula took, like one of the nurses had an Apple Watch and like she was out of my body. And like you see the time on her watch is 12:12. We're like, it's definitely not 12:13. So we looked it up very quickly. I mean, honestly, I'm a mom of young kids, so like I'm totally biased, but I find knowing the designs of the people in our lives, especially kids, but honestly, anyone is so useful because you can start to imagine like, oh, this is how I operate. I'm like, oh, like there's been friction in this relationship because this person's just different than me. They make decisions differently. Their energy moves differently. Like their strengths are different. So I've loved having daughters with such different designs than mine because I have no expectation that they'll be anything like me. And like I already see their designs so clearly and they're so different from each other.
Yeah. So that's interesting. So then let's talk about that, how someone can use this knowledge in their life, in their personal life. I know we've talked like a bit about work, so maybe more like personal things, like in relationships, friendships, whether it's romantic or platonic, you know, how, what are some like ways that someone can really use this to honestly improve their life, their relationships and all that?
Yeah. You know, I feel like when I sit with couples, I feel like when they often come to me, there's like this sense of friction. And the discovery is often that like it's not because of some fundamental disconnect, it's just because they're expecting each other to be the same, you know. And so I tell a lot of these stories in the book, but one story I tell, which is one example, which is around decision making, is I sat with a couple that was trying to decide whether or not to move to New York. And one of them was meant to make decisions very quickly. And so she had like an immediate gut feeling that like New York was their place. And she was feeling very frustrated with her husband because she felt like he was waffling every day. It was always a different answer. And when I looked at his design, I was like, he's actually meant to give himself a full month before he chooses. And so what she was perceiving as waffling was just his way of reaching clarity. And so I feel like that's one example of like things can feel challenging when it's like, this is my way and it should be your way. But when you understand how different you are, then like things become a lot easier. You know, they waited a month, he became clear, they felt the same thing and they moved. And so I think learning how each person makes decisions is really, really useful. I think another powerful example in relationships is around how to communicate with each other. And I'm going to use you as an example. As a generator, you are somebody who, according to your human design, as always, take it or leave it, is somebody who responds well when making decisions to specific options and yes, no questions. So that basically means that like if I'm deciding to like go to dinner with you as a friend, it might be useful to present options to you, like, do you want to go here or here, or do you want to go out or cook at home, rather than offering you an open-ended question, because you're somebody who's very gut-driven. So you might find that when you're presented specific questions, like say with wedding planning and given options in that way, it really kind of helps you bypass like this very active, powerful mind you have and get you straight into your gut feeling. So my husband's a generator. So when we're kind of deciding things, my job is really often to present options. I'm curious how that feels for you.
I mean, 100%, especially in my relationship where we follow more of roles, and it's like, that's totally on him to kind of make the plans and make those choices. Of course, there's going to be the times where there's things that I specifically want to do, but for the most part, it's like, Friday night, what are we doing? Don't even ask me that question. You let me know. Otherwise, yes, present me with options and I'll choose from those options, but I'm not going to take it upon myself to make the general decision.
Yeah. And like, it's just, I find it so useful. We can like get caught in all these like conflicts or challenges or whatever because we just don't get each other and how one another needs to be communicated to. Like other people like need to be invited in. Like you might have a daughter or a friend who's a projector, and projectors really need words of affirmation. They need specific acknowledgement. So you might not be somebody who like offers words of affirmation because you don't need it, but one of your best friends, like that's what might be what they need most.
Right.
So like taking the time to be like, oh God, I love the way you answered that question, or God, the way you like supported our friend through this was so amazing. Like that's going to be the thing that like unlocks their magic. So I love sitting with parents of projectors and reminding them of that, because they often find their kid like seeking attention because they're not receiving that acknowledgement. I think the last example that I would share, there's a story I share in the book of a manifesting generator projector couple. Another example of manifestors, because I just talked about projectors. Manifestors, like I said, need a lot of freedom and autonomy. And so I tell a story of a manifestor who was in a long distance relationship, and it really worked for her because she kind of could maintain her day to day. And then her partner moved into her apartment, and all of a sudden she felt so confined and so trapped. And so when she came to me, she's like, is this just not the right relationship? Like, should I just leave? And it became clear that it wasn't about it being the wrong relationship, but about the fact that she lost her autonomy. She lost the freedom she was used to. So she ended up having her own bedroom, and so did her partner. And they kind of built in space throughout the week where they could be in their own flow. So when they had their own spaces to retreat to, things felt amazing. So in a case like that, it was just around this very practical piece. Like they just needed a little bit more space built into their connection for them to actually like feel really enriched by it. So I think it just offers us so many specific practical tools to find out how to better honor our own needs in relationships, but better kind of relate to others in a way that really supports exactly who it is they are.
Yeah. Would you say that couples look into this just for like, just to know, or like, are there couples who actually look into this as kind of like an alternative to like couples therapy?
Yeah, I think that like I feel like honestly, when I sit with a lot of couples, they're coming with like a challenge, like a thing that's hard. So, you know, whether it's an alternative, I don't know, like therapy obviously is so useful in different ways, but I feel like there's something really useful in relationships to just like understand the mechanics of just like having a framework of like, oh, we operate differently. Like I have a lot of therapists who kind of get my personalized guides for all their clients because they're just like, I want to like understand how they work so I can ask them questions that are a little bit more tailored to them. So I do feel like when I sit, like another example, I sat with a couple that was really struggling and I looked at their design and one of them was super independent, just like kind of like could process things very easily on his own. And the other one like needed a lot of talking things out and needed a lot of collaboration. So they were really struggling because they just processed differently. And then when they understood that, it was just like, oh, like he needs to be on his own. And like, she needs to find ways to meet her needs for connection inside and outside of the relationship, you know, so she's not just relying on him to talk things out. So I don't know. I think it's amazing for partnerships and couples and friendships, because again, you just stop trying to make somebody the same. And you really understand exactly how it is they are. And then I think therapy can be a way to kind of keep talking through those things as they arise.
Yeah. That makes sense. I wish that I knew my fiance's. I don't know his, I knew his time of birth and I can't remember. And I also am not sure if he was born on Staten Island or in the city, but
that doesn't matter.
Oh, it doesn't? It's just really like New York?
New York's fine. It's really just about time zone. Okay. So even like Pennsylvania would be fine. Yeah.
Yeah. I can't remember his, exact time. It was definitely at like 3 something in the afternoon, but I don't remember what time exactly. I would tell you, but I should know, because we always wish each other a happy birthday at the time that we're born. So don't ask why I can't remember right now. His birthday's in July, so it'll come back to me by July. All right. So I feel like we touched on really like everything as far as like my questions. What are more things that are, whether it's like in the book or things that, you know, we didn't touch on that you would want to share?
You know, I think that we talked about a lot of the important pieces. You know, I think the focus of my book, and I want to share about one other piece of your design for sure, but the focus of my book is really around how human design can actually be applied, which has been our conversation. I feel like often I found that most people don't actually care about learning the system. They want to know what the system can offer them that they can actually integrate into their day-to-day life. Right. And so the book is very much like, how can you look up your design and then discover how it can help you find your way into better opportunities, level up your career, you know, better articulate your needs in relationships, make easier decisions, like better understand the people close to you. So it's really around how we can actually use this system. And it's a result of sitting with like 4,000 people in sessions over the past number of years. So I can really see how human design is showing up in real life. So the book is meant to kind of be a real-time decision-making guide where you're like, I don't know what to do about this choice, or I'm struggling in this relationship, and kind of opening it up and seeing what your design can offer. I think one piece that we didn't touch on that I think is really important is around decision-making, which is why the book is called How Do You Choose? Because I think human design reveals how we're meant to make decisions. So I'm going to use you as an example here. You are somebody who's meant to make decisions in the moment. This is called sacral, by the way, for those listening. You're meant to make decisions in the moment based on your gut feeling. It's like a visceral belly feeling that will either pull you towards or push you away from somebody. It's immediate, you know, like, and so I would say if you get a full bodied gut yes, like there's no need to sleep on things or wait, you can just act on it. If it's anything but that, I would say it's not the right thing or it's not the right time. The gut is a feeling that comes without a reason. So if you find yourself saying, I think that I should do this because this might happen, you've disconnected from your gut. Your gut is like, I'm doing this because it feels right. Don't know why. I trust that I'll find out why later. And just for an example of an opposite authority, I am meant to sleep on things and feel into things and mull over things. And so, you know, you and I have very different processes, but I'm curious how kind of that instinctual, visceral gut authority resonates or doesn't resonate with your experience.
Well, first of all, 100%. And second of all, you saying this kind of makes me realize that it may be something that I'm even doing or have done wrong with my own coaching clients, because I yes, everything you said is 100% accurate. And I kind of coach on that about trusting your gut and leaning into that with an example that I have given to be very specific, because I've had multiple, but there's one that comes to mind. A client who really, like, a lot of things overstayed their welcome in her life because she really struggled to make a decision. And in that process of thinking and waiting, is it a yes or a no, relationships kept going that much longer than they should have. Boundaries got crossed. You know, there was just never like a yes or no. It was like constant, like, waiting periods, you know, waiting for XYZ to happen before I decide. I don't want to jump the gun. A lot of like lack of trust in, you know, in herself and in her gut. And so my coaching, like what I would tell her would be, whatever instinctual response like comes to you first, right then and there, that's your answer. And then anything after, but is an excuse or is your overthinking coming to you. So say that, you know, you're presented yes or no, like whatever the question might be, it's one or the other, A or B. And your immediate reaction is like A. Mm-hmm. And the second you start to, but, so I would always say like everything after but is like, that's the overthinking. That's you either making an excuse or finding a way out of, you know, committing to your decision. It's a lack of commitment, you know, because maybe there's like a fear of commitment. If I end this, then like, or if I say yes to this, then that might end something else, whatever the case is. So I kind of always have coached leaning into my belief of that, about like, yes, follow your instincts. Whereas that person may very much not be, you know, a generator. It might not be the person who follows your gut. Or not to say doesn't follow their gut, but doesn't, you know, make decisions in that way. Mm-hmm. But I will say that it typically has a positive feedback response after, where they say, you know what, I did what you said and it worked. So I don't know, but it's funny because as you're saying it, I'm like, I coach on that.
Well, I think we often do. It's like, we know what works for us. And I think that I do find it so useful to know the authority of other people, because I know for me and my authority, I'm what we call an emotional authority, which is possible for every single type of reflectors, is that I will often have a first instinct and then I'll wake up the next day after committing and regret it, you know, and I realize I don't actually have the energy for it. So it's not that my first instinct is always wrong, but I often like need a lot of time for it to settle. It's still not like a mental, like me rationalizing the decision, but it like my truth definitely comes with time, you know? And so it is just really interesting. Like, we're all meant to choose differently. So I don't think it's harmful, because you're like encouraging people to trust themselves and not kind of get too lost in the pro con list. But for some people, that truth might kind of emerge over time. Some people have to talk it out. Some people need a full month. You know, I think that like we all have different ways of choosing. And I think it's so useful to know what that is for us and what it is for the other people around us. Because I think when we choose in the way that feels most aligned, we end up in the right places with the right people, you know, like, for example, the client that's overstaying, it's like, if they really trust the fact that like, that's not right, it's like they end up saving themselves so much time and creating space for new things to come in. So I do find like the decision-making piece is just so useful.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I because I'm so that, I'm so like, trust your gut, you know, be decisive. Other people's indecisiveness stresses me out. I'm like, girl, just make a decision. I'm like, I can't even imagine sitting with this for weeks, days, weeks, hours, months. I can't imagine it. Like,
that would
drive me crazy.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's funny because I feel like when I sit with the people that are meant to give themselves a full month, there's part of me that's always like, are they really going to resonate with this? It seems pretty wild. And yet almost always they're just like, totally. They're like, yep, I really get it. I'm like, what? Mm-hmm. You know, so like we often do have like a sense of how we're meant to choose, and we just often don't trust it. But what feels so natural to us can feel so foreign to other people.
Yeah. A video that I had posted a couple of years ago that was like, it's funny because it's like always the content you put the least amount of effort into that just like goes the most viral. I could spend days writing a script for something and it's like one view and it's my mom, but then I'll say a 5-second video that took no effort and it was like one of my most viewed videos and most engaged with videos ever. And all I was saying in it is, if it's not a fuck yes, it's a no. And that's like right there is exactly me on like decision making. Like, if it's 100%. Not 100% fuck yes, like it's a no. Like, and I don't need to think twice about it. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to sleep on it. I don't need to start doing, like you said, the pros and cons list. It's just like, you'll know. Like, if you'll know, you know, like that's it.
Totally. You know, and also, you know, it's funny because my husband has this, and it's been annoying for me as a partner at times, because there are times where I like so want a thing to be a yes. You know, I tell these stories in the book of like trying to find an Airbnb, and I was like presenting all these amazing options, and he was just like, no. Yeah. You know, and like I remember one day we were in the cab, and I like showed him this place that had no reviews, and like I was like, it will definitely be a no, and he was like, absolutely yes. And I was like, what? There are like no reviews. And he's like, book it now. And I was like, okay, I booked it. And it was such an amazing spot. We like literally tried to buy the house, but like, it's been such a good reminder for me as a partner to really learn how to trust that, even like when I'm not getting a yes to the things I want or in the moments that I want, but like knowing that it just works when they trust that.
Yeah. That sounds like me and my fiance as well. The amount of times that I'm like, what do you mean no to this? Like, so I'm presenting you the perfect option here. So I get that. I get that. This was really, really, really informative. A lot of fun. And I think the girls are really going to love this. So what would be any last, you know, words that you have for the girls listening that you want to leave them with?
I think my reminder is that whether or not you choose to delve deeper into human design, it offers us such a powerful reminder that we're just like all wired to do things differently, whether it's how we choose, how we build our businesses, how we show up in relationships. So I would consider whether there are any areas where you're trying to do things like others and it's not working, and whether there's a better way to do it for you, and also whether there are any areas where you're expecting someone to be just like you, and what it would look like to be a little bit more compassionate and empathetic towards the fact that like they just might be different.
Yeah, 100%. Erin, remind all the girls where they can find your book. Of course, I will have it linked in the show notes, but just tell them all the details and where they can find and connect with you.
So the book is called How Do You Choose? A Human Design Guide to What's Best for You at Work and Love and in Life. My name is Erin Claire Jones. You can find it anywhere books are sold. And it's a really great place if you're like, how do I actually use this to actually impact my life? And it's meant to be incredibly accessible, even if you're totally new to human design. I also sell hyper-personalized guides all about your unique design that kind of are these, you know, custom manuals, your operating manuals. That's at humandesignblueprint.com. And we have the discount code for the girls. And then on Instagram, I'm at Erin Claire Jones and Human Design Blueprint.
Yes, amazing. One last time, she has a discount code for the girls. That's
for the guide
in your social media bio, right?
Yeah.
Okay, perfect. So you girls can access that there and everything from Erin. So this was amazing. And thank you so much for being on.
Thank you so much for having me.
I have something to share that has been highly requested, highly anticipated, and now it's finally here. The workbook for the girls who desire more. I created a 90-page digital workbook that includes journal prompts, powerful worksheets, thought-provoking questions, personal development activities, and so much more that'll have you digging deeper than ever before. And it's available right now for only $29. That's right. This workbook is a $299 value, and it's all yours for only $29 at victoriaalerio.com or at the link in the show notes. So grab your dream workbook, get to work, and become your dream girl now at victoriaalerio.com.